You have a copy of your watchtower to be discussed today. You will note an open Bible at the base of the title on the front page. This underscores the reason why we have the watchtower study. It is to study the Bible. Please then take your Bible to accompany the summary to be given to the watchtower study this week. It will be reviewed by Brother Kevin McCauley of the Wainwright Congregation. Tell us the topic of discussion for this week, Brother McCauley.
So if you haven't already, please take out your copies of the February 15th Watchtower and turn to page 25. It's nice to see that many of you already have your copies out and you're already ready to follow along. And for that, you're to be commended. Notice our theme here. Let nothing hinder you from taking hold of glory. So this theme helps us to see that we can possess glory. But think of this theme for a second. What do you think of when you hear glory? Well, the answer is it could be anything that we deem as spectacular or admirable. But in our purpose for this article today, it helps us to see that our focus is on the glory that Jehovah God bestows. And as our theme indicates here, we're going to find out in this article what may hinder us from receiving God's glory. And it's safe to say, it says that if we're taking hold of glory, then we're probably going to be able to use it to benefit others. Notice our text theme upon which this is discussed. Proverbs 29, verse 23. He that is humble in spirit will take hold of glory. Today, we can look forward to three essential points. Notice them under the how would you answer. What glory may we receive from God? What could hinder us from taking hold of glory? In what sense can our endurance mean glory for others? Now first, we need to understand the significance of the scriptural use of glory that we find in our text and theme today. And to simply put it, it conveys the sense of heaviness. In Bible times, this was drawn from the practice that the more massive a coin, the more valuable it was because it contained more precious metal. Now here we can make a connection that heaviness or weightiness of a coin equaled whether it was more valuable or less. And this word glory refers to weightiness, that heaviness. And it tells us it's something that is valuable, something we should cherish, something that we should view as awesome. And this is fitting, because what could be more valuable than Jehovah's glory? Really nothing. So whom does Jehovah give such glory? Well, notice our text scripture again. The emphasis is on the humble, on humility. Jehovah values and rewards this quality that we're meek, teachable, we have lowliness of mind, and we're modest in our views. So how does Jehovah confer glory, then, to the humble? Let's open our Bibles together to the 73rd Psalm. And here in the 73rd Psalm, notice how the psalmist expresses his confidence in Jehovah to glorify him. Notice verse 23. And 24. But I am constantly with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel you will lead me, and afterward you will take me even to glory. So notice in verse 23 that the psalmist, Jehovah, took hold of his right hand, much like a father takes hold of his child's hand to support, to strengthen, and to protect. And hand in hand with Jehovah in verse 24, it says he was led to glory. Well, this is something that he was certain of. But think of that phrase there, he was led. and look at the question for paragraphs 3 to 5. To what glory may Jehovah lead us? Well, this answers our first review question, one of the points we're looking for. And here we find 4 ways that Jehovah leads us to glory. Let's number them. Notice first off, we have an understanding of Jehovah's will. We understand the hidden wisdom of God. What a magnificent privilege. Secondly, we can have a close, personal relationship with Jehovah. Isn't that impressive? That if we listen and obey, we can be friends of the Most High. Third, we have our ministry. We praise Jehovah for the well-being of others. Notice on page 25, we have a picture of this, a faithful couple who obviously treasure this responsibility of the ministry. By looking at them, we can tell that they've probably been doing this for years, even decades. And despite advancing age and health problems, they keep holding on to this treasure. What do you think is the result of their faithfulness? Let's open our Bible to James 22. And we can find the answer in the first sentence of verse 1. Notice, a name is to be chosen rather than abundant riches. Yes, their faithfulness results in that name, or having a good reputation with Jehovah and his servants. What a treasure it is that our ministry leads to being esteemed by Jehovah God. And the fourth thing, we have the hope of everlasting life. What an unparalleled honor. But we notice in our theme for today, it says, let nothing hinder. So what could hinder us in taking hold of Jehovah's glory? Well, this answers our second review question that we want to pay attention for. And we can find one answer in our subheading, I do not accept glory from men. So what's the hindrance? Well, notice what paragraph 6 says. One factor is giving too much weight to the opinions of those who have no standing with God. For example, there was many in Jesus' day rulers, those in authority. They put faith in Jesus, but not publicly because of fear of the Pharisees. They loved the accolades of man more than God's. They didn't want to lose the positive opinion of people that in reality was valueless. Let's turn to our scripture we're asked to read in John chapter 5 as we think about this. And here, we're going to see that Jesus identifies the reason why many did not put faith in him. And we can see his words in verses 39 to 44. You are searching the scriptures because you think that by means of them you will have everlasting life. And these are the very ones that bear witness about me. And yet you do not want to come to me that you may have life. I do not accept glory from men. But I well know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in the name of my Father, but you did not receive me. If someone else arrived in his own name, you would receive that one. How can you believe when you are accepting glory from one another and you are not seeking the glory that is from the only God? So friends, notice in verse 39 that these versed in the law were searching the scriptures for life. That should have led them right to Jesus. There was a lot written about him. Yes, some perceived through prophecy his time for arrival was imminent. They were looking. They even thought John the Baptizer might be the Christ. Now he was in their midst. And those versed in the scriptures, those searching, rejected him. Why? We notice the answer in verse 44. They were seeking glory from fellow humans, not Jehovah. They were seeking the worthless glory of imperfect humans as superior, we might say, to Jehovah. That's why in verse 41, Jesus did not seek their glory. Why? Well, we can illustrate the power of seeking human glory in that it obscures divine glory. And we can notice that in paragraphs 8 and 9. Have you ever seen the stars? Out in the countryside, on a good night, we can see thousands. They encompass the sky. How about viewed from downtown Edmonton? It's not the same. There's streetlights, there's traffic, there's the lights of tall buildings, and they interfere with what we can discern of Jehovah's universe. In fact, if you're outside the city traveling in, you can see all of that light floating above the city like a cloud of light pollution. And the result is that artificial light, that fake light, it's closer to our eyes than the light of the stars. And that cloud mass of pollution, it interferes, it blinds us to the other side. So what's the application? Notice how paragraph 9 starts. Similarly, if the wrong kind of glory were too close to our hearts, it could prevent us from appreciating and seeking the enduring glory that Jehovah is willing to bestow. You know, as we think about that statement, friends, how is it that man's glory, that artificial glory, blinds us to God's? Well, some within our territories, they don't accept kingdom truth. They agree with it. They may progress to a certain extent, but they fear the opinions of friends and neighbors. Why, seeking God's glory can affect us as witnesses of Jehovah too. Maybe as a young teenage brother. It affects what we do in service, especially in areas that we're well known. Maybe we might call on a schoolmate, and they don't know we're a witness of Jehovah, and fear paralyzes. Or maybe we have theocratic goals, maybe to work towards baptism, regular pioneering, Bethel, Bible schools, and someone criticizes these pursuits instead of commending. We need to remember, we don't want the poor perspective of a spiritual deadbeat in some cases, to alter our choices. And sometimes, some commit serious sins, and they hide them for weeks, months, even years, because they don't want to lose their privileges, associates, and reputation. You know, as we think about that very thought, let's turn to James chapter 5. And here in James 5, we notice what our concern should be if we are in this situation. Notice verse 14 to 16. Here it says, "Is there anyone sick among you? Let him call the older men of the congregation to him, and let them pray over him, greasing him with oil in the name of Jehovah. Prayer of faith will make the indisposed one well, and Jehovah will raise him up. Also, if he has committed sins, it will be forgiven him. Therefore, openly confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, that you may get healed. A righteous man's supplication, when it is at work, has much force." So what should be our concern? These verses tell us we need to repair our relationship with Jehovah. We need to go to the elders, the older men, as it says, and openly confess these things. Why? Well, verse 14 helps us to see that we are spiritually sick. And the elders, they are the doctors. Seeking man's glory will cause us not to appreciate and not to seek Jehovah's help, whereas humility will move us to seek that help. Sometimes, unreasonable concern of how others perceive us gets in the way. It's almost like we Seek little gold stars like we're in kindergarten for our shared accomplishments. We want others to know and to acknowledge our hard work. We want that accolade. But if we're humble, we remember Jehovah's opinion is the only one that matters. Maybe pride gets in the way of honest counsel from mature Christians. So we justify, we defend, we write off the counsel as hard, it hurts our pride. But remember our theme text? The need for humility. A humble person sees that help can help them, and that we need to accept it if it's going to help. You know, we can put it this way. A humble person views counsel like a breath mint. It's offered for a reason. In paragraph 11, notice that we have a warning about seeking praise, especially as overseers. So what can praise, what can commendation reveal? Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs 27 for the answer. It's Proverbs 27, and here we're going to see that praise can reveal our heart attitude, really. Notice verse 21. It says, "The refining pot is for silver, the furnace is for gold, and an individual is according to his praise." So notice here, it helps us to see that gold and silver need to be refined. And at the same time, we may be refined by praise. So what might that reveal? Well, it could reveal what's in our inner heart. It could reveal that we're seeking the glory of man. Maybe we're a little proud. It's not like we're going to build a statue of ourselves for our congregation to awe at and goo over us. But we could put ourselves on a verbal pedestal, speaking of our privileges, responsibilities, our Bible studies, so that people think we're great. And that may be a sign of self-righteousness, seeking our own glory. But on the other hand, praise may reveal within our inner heart that we're being refined to be humble, that we recognize Jehovah's hand. And we acknowledge our indebtedness and reliance on Him for all achievements and all blessings. And we direct praise back to Jehovah, not ourselves. The truth is, when we receive commendation, commendation is actually another form of counsel. So if we receive it, it helps us to see we have more to work on to be humble than to open our mouths and brag about. Notice our next subheading. You wish to do the desires of your Father. Here we find another factor that can hinder us from taking hold of glory. Notice the focus there? It's on desires, specifically wrong ones. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 8 as we think about this. And as we read here, ask yourself the question, what is the power of wrong desires? Notice verse 43 to 47. "Why is it you do not know what I am speaking? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are from your father the devil, and you wish to do the desires of your father. That one was a manslayer when he began, and he did not stand fast in the truth, because truth is not in him. When he speaks the lie, he speaks according to his own disposition, because he is a liar and the father of the lie. Because I, on the other hand, tell truth, you do not believe me. Who of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why is it you do not believe me? He that is from God listens to the sayings of God. That is why you do not listen, because you are not from God." So notice in verse 44 here that their want was to do the desires of their father, Satan. And the result is that we see that desires influenced what they heard. These verses help us to see it prevented them from accepting reality, from accepting truth, from really accepting Jehovah. Thus, they were like sons of Satan. In fact, notice how it's worded. It says, you wish to do the desires. See, it was their wish to do the things Satan wanted. They didn't want Jehovah's Day. They wanted to live their lives undisrupted. They wanted to be unaccountable. And when we think about that, doesn't it make sense that those desires would prevent them from hearing truth? You know, we can actually illustrate this point. Notice in paragraph 13 that we all have the capacity to ignore unwanted noise. You know, today there's noises. Maybe we've heard somebody cough, sneeze, blow their nose. People are walking by, going to the restrooms. There's young children and babies, even the sounds of the ventilation. Now, we're not concerned. We're not even aware of most of these because we can focus on one thing, the speaker, and not be overwhelmed by noises here or there. It's not like we have to turn our heads and gawk at every little thing. But what if we had two voices speaking to us at the same time? Well, we could focus only on one. It'd be like listening to the speaker today and somebody whispering in our ear. Now we have a choice. Who do we listen to? What's the one we want to? The one we wish. And we're going to say it's the speaker, right? But that second voice, it's persistent. It comes back and eventually it appeals to our desires and it whispers to us during the watchtower. Hey, isn't that sister single over there? This isn't her assembly. Oh, look who she's sitting with. Do we desire to know? Oh, this is big news. We're going to take a peek. Even if we're in the front row, we're going to turn our heads and look over our shoulder like we're doing something else. Likewise, every day two voices speak to us. In Proverbs chapter 9, it says, it's the house of wisdom or stupidity. Which one do we listen to? The answer? The one we wish to. The one that we act upon, the one that we respond to, the one that literally turns our heads, as it were, from the front row. So we want to listen to the voice of wisdom, Jehovah's. And that will cause us to listen to truth, to Jesus, and to follow him in our life, in our decisions, in our pursuits. Does our lifestyle match the voice of wisdom? Notice our last subheading. These mean glory for you. Now here, we find a quote from Ephesians 3, verse 13. And it refers to Paul's steadfastness through tribulation, meaning glory for others. In what sense? Well, this will answer our last review question. Notice in paragraph 15 that Paul's readiness to continue ministering to the Ephesians demonstrated the weighty and highest conceivable value that our Christian privileges are. And by doing so, we notice here that he elevated true worship and showed that the cost of discipleship is worth any sacrifice, no matter how large. We can see an example of that within the scriptures, that Paul, when in Lystra, was stoned by crowds, dragged out of the city, and left for dead. In fact, notice the picture on page 28. Here we find Paul. He survived. He's bloodied, he's bruised, he's battered. The brothers and sisters here have deep concern for him. See, this day, he was left for dead. He was in bad shape. The next, he's traveling 100 kilometers to continue his ministry. Who would benefit from this? Well, no doubt the congregation was uplifted in its spirits. But look at that picture. Look at Paul's face. Who was he encouraging? Who was he concerned about? Well, we'd probably say the young boy. Could that be Timothy? What impact do you think that would have upon his faith? It would have a big impact. In fact, the scriptures tell us that Timothy closely followed the life of Paul. So whether he was there or not, he was well aware of Paul's faithful course and of Jehovah's blessing and help. So what effect did Paul's endurance have on Timothy? Well, it had a massive impression in molding Timothy to a spiritually mature and respected brother. In fact, in Acts 16, it tells us that he was well reported upon in two cities. The result? Well, he progressed to take on heavy responsibility, so much so that Paul later wrote that he had no one else of a disposition like Timothy. So what's the application? Well, notice the question on paragraph 19. What effect can our endurance have on others? Well, let's answer this with the picture on page 29. Here we see it's an enlarged picture of the one we began our study with. And it's of this faithful couple in service. Now we notice it doesn't go unnoticed by our young brother. See him? He's aware of their faithfulness. He's seeing it firsthand. He's taking it to heart. Their example speaks to him. And what's the result? He's learning vital qualities. Not only there, when he sees them at the meetings and in person, in speech, in skill, and dealing with the indignities of age, deteriorating health. And these may actually help him to strive after and attain Jehovah's glory. Like Paul and Timothy, you older ones in the audience can likewise mold the future valuable assets of the congregation, the future ministerial servants, elders, and circuit overseers. So as a younger one, look at that picture again. Which of the two people are you and I in the background? See, one is noticing their faithfulness, and one is ignoring. We want to appreciate the endurance of others in striving after and attaining the gift of life. So why should we not give up in seeking Jehovah's glory? Let's turn to Romans chapter 2 together. And in Romans chapter 2, we find two reasons, and we've really discussed these already as we've gone over this article. Notice verse 6 and 7. And he will render to each one according to his works. Everlasting life to those who are seeking glory and honor and incorruptibleness by endurance in work that is good. So did you notice that if we seek glory, it says, we could receive the gift of everlasting life. But notice at the end of verse 7, it tells us we need to have endurance in work that is good. And if we're faithful, then there's a good chance others can see it and imitate our example and persevere, leading to Jehovah's glory and life. Let's review what we've discussed today. Turn to page 25. How would you answer our first question? What glory may we receive from God? Well, we see that Jehovah leads the humble to glory in four ways. We understand his will. We can have a personal relationship with Jehovah. We have our ministry, and if we're faithful in it, Jehovah honors us with a fine reputation, and we have the hope of life. Notice our second question. What could hinder us from taking hold of glory? Well, accepting the glory of men, putting too much emphasis on the opinions of those who have no standing with God. A second factor is wrong desires, because desires affect what we listen and act upon. And really, we can be listening to the voice of wisdom or stupidity. Notice our third question. In what sense can our endurance mean glory for others? Well, our endurance demonstrates the value we place on being a Christian by the sacrifices we make to remain steadfast. And others, our young ones in attendance, they notice. They might even imitate it, and it could strengthen them to strive after this glory. So friends, after today's article, may we all work hard to take hold of Jehovah's glory by remaining humble and letting nothing, absolutely nothing, hinder us from receiving a gift that is truly weighty, treasured, magnificent, and impressive, God's glory.
Your review of that pertinent material, Brother McCauley, certainly was appreciated.